You're in the home 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter and ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, plus the ESPN YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app.
That's right.
Just got to scroll through the carousel a little
right.
bit. And you can also download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast, for those that are listening on the
All
audio
All that
version.
Is true.
Yes.
All that is 100% accurate.
There we go. We nailed
well
it today.
Done.
We did some research on the show yesterday.
I like that. You know what we should do?
What's that?
Tomorrow, let's list the places you can't get us.
Okay.
We're not available on TV.
What's the first place?
Okay. We're not available on TV.
Maybe one day.
If
with enough support, perhaps right. it could be a daily
perhaps,
TV show during the football season. Yeah.
I always think we should be, but you know, it's not my day to run the company.
Right.
We're not available on radio.
Okay, not available on
radio. We're not available in the ESPN Fantasy app.
We're working on that part.
Okay, good.
I'm assuming.
If
you were
know.
In Times Square and there were one of those big screens.
Not there.
We would not be there.
We're not there.
Okay.
You know how sometimes like you go to a urinal
yes.
and there'll be like a little screen, like especially
a
at a sports bar,
well. Yes.
a gas station as well. Like if you're pumping your gas,
right.
we're not available on that.
Okay.
Like, yeah. And if you're like at a sports bar and you go to a urinal, you
right.
know, like
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
men only. You know, there's a screen there that's
right.
playing, you know, playing usually a game. We're not available on that. So we're not in bathrooms, we're not in bus
right.
stations, we're not in gas stations.
Sometimes when you get your haircut,
yep.
they have you have the option yep. to watch TV during
yeah,
your haircut,
yep.
which is very nice.
Yep.
But I also like to make conversation when I'm getting my haircut.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's nice. I mean, I got to figure that person, I don't know how many times a barber cuts does someone's hair per day. I would
right.
think they probably do what? So if like 3 an hour, maybe 20
yeah,
to 25
I mean,
a day.
Lot. Yeah.
That's
I'm
so,
always I keep quiet. I don't, because
really?
Two things. I don't enjoy the small talk.
Yours is pretty short, too.
Listen, I wore it.
It's like,
dude, I wore a t-shirt that said, I like margaritas and maybe three people.
Yeah.
I mean, right. And we all agreed, like, that's funny because it's accurate.
Mm.
All right. I mean, so, yeah, I'm not a small talk guy.
Gotcha.
And also, like, when I get my hair cut, I'm just like, I'm embarrassed by how little hair I have. I understand, like, this is
yes.
quick appointment. Like, can we just get in and out? I don't want anyone to recognize me while I'm there. I don't want anyone to ask me fantasy questions. Like, I get it. Like, I you know, I'm fighting a losing battle over here.
Right, you should have just,
like, can everyone
hair.
Just please ignore me?
Yeah.
And especially, by the way, because I'm wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wearing a mask when I'm getting my hair cut. So now I don't want to make small talk through the mask. Like,
right,
and the person cutting my hair is wearing a mask. And the whole thing's like, just like, let's just get this over with.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that would be another place that would be cool to watch our show if
but
it were
we're not
available.
There.
So,
we're not there. Dentist's office we're not in. Like,
dentist's office.
Like,
yeah.
when I go to the dentist's office, I don't know if you have this, but, like, they have a, like, my dentist's office has, like, a TV from the ceiling. So,
really?
Like, when you're down, like, yeah, and
That's
they hand
awesome.
You a remote and
wow.
you flip through while they're working on your mouth.
That's really cool. I did not know that.
Shout out to Dr. Desai. By the way, big fantasy player, Dr.
Is that
Desai.
Right?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. He always pops
wow,
up and talks to me about his team.
I mean, you always want to give every person that asks you good advice.
Sure.
But you especially want to give good advice to your dentist. They got, like, that you know, that metal rod they use.
Oh,
or the,
yeah.
The whatever. What do we call it? What's the thing they use to scrape your teeth when they're cleaning them?
Mm-hmm.
That thing is, I don't like that. I don't like that feeling whatsoever.
Yeah.
I would definitely want to give my dentist good advice. By the way, it's just you and I here today.
Okay.
Along with Kyle. Kyle's filling in for Daniel.
Thirsty Kyle, very excited.
No,
all I know
thirsty.
Is let's say he's thirsty.
He's
like,
quenched.
He's quenched Kyle.
Yeah.
Is what he is for the show today.
He's nice
quenched Kyle
because yeah,
now you're
bad.
On air.
Sure.
You're on air. No Daniel. I saw on social media that you and Secret Squirrel went to the Yard Goats.
We did.
Right? The Hartford Yard
night.
Goats,
yeah.
which is AAA team here in Hartford, here in Connecticut.
Weirdly, you and I didn't make the invite list.
Didn't get a call. I was at the office working on Love Hate.
I
Some of us was working for a living.
Yeah. I was watching TV at home.
Celebrating Chapin's big win.
Well, yeah. Super proud of her.
Yeah, that was awesome.
First win as a coach. Really proud of her.
Yeah, 10-1.
Came out like gangbusters yesterday. She was
she's like a young Belichick.
She was like, someone commented on her, the thing said, yeah, Belichick's taking notes right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, she was like Jameis Winston. You know,
Absolutely.
First game, strong debut.
Hey. Did she eat a W?
She eat a W. She's eating, you know.
Well,
she's,
listen, she's eating for two.
She's eating a lot of things these days.
Yeah,
I don't know
I
if
bet.
She eat a W.
I bet. But anyway, so yeah, Thirsty Kyle, Daniel Dopp went to the Hartford Yard Goats game last night.
It was fun.
Right?
Yeah,
great time.
And here's all I know. On social media, I saw Thirsty Kyle and Daniel Dopp at the Yard Goats game. And then this morning, only Thirsty Kyle is here. And he's now quenched Kyle. So I don't know. Like, he's got that baby face, but there's something going on behind it. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
you know, Kyle does not imbibe alcohol.
No, he does not.
Daniel.
Everyone thinks Thirsty Kyle means because he's not. He does not drink.
Nickname.
It's a deceiving nickname.
Right. Daniel, maybe Daniel had one too many pina coladas at the game last night. Do they serve those at the game? They do. I've been there before.
They might. He's an angry orchard kind of guy.
Oh, he does. He loves his cider. He does. Yes. Daniel loves his cider. So he had too many ciders last night, and Daniel will be back here tomorrow.
Maybe.
Let's get into it. One more update here, and we'll start with some news, and then we'll get right into our rankings for the show.
Yep.
Rankings are available on ESPN.com if you want to get your lineup set for week two. Game begins tomorrow night. We'll make this quick. Matthew Raheem Mostert, not just out for 8 weeks. We now know he has elected to have surgery. He'll miss the rest of the year for the 49ers, so an 8-week timeline has been doubled to 16 weeks. He will be back in 2022. We just don't know where he'll be playing because he's going to be a free agent. Your thoughts here on what this means.
In terms of Raheem Mostert, I mean, listen, we wish him well.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, a fun player to watch. He's struggled with injuries throughout his career. You hate to see it. You know, he's a special teams guy that got a shot and made the most of it, finally got a real contract, which is exciting for him. So you feel bad for the player and his family. Mm. Just from a human perspective, you feel bad for him, and you're wishing him the best. And I think this is, again, I'm no Stefania Bell, but feels like this is the right move. Like, you know, don't let this linger. Go in, get it cleaned up, get ready. Don't try to come back this year. Like, great. So we wish him the best. As far as the 49ers running backs, it is, you know, listen, next man up. We expect Elijah Mitchell, Jamichael Hasty, and Trey Sermon to be the three active running backs. After the game last week, Kyle Shanahan said, we only dressed three guys, and that's one of the reasons why Sermon was inactive. We thought these other guys helped us win. Now, I've read somewhere that both Hasty and Mitchell also are good on special teams, so that may have been one of the reasons why they were activated last Sunday instead of Sermon.
Sure, I get that.
Yes, of course, it makes a ton of sense. Also could have been message sending to Sermon. Also could have been just what Adam Schefter said on Fantasy Football Now, what we've heard from beat reporters, and what Kyle said after the game, which is like, they passed him on the depth chart. We thought he looked like a guy that belongs.
I mean, as a starter, right?
Like
104 rushing yards, a touchdown.
He looked the part.
Yeah,
he absolutely looked the part. So those guys are going to be really hard to rank this week. But my expectation here is that do not drop Trey Sermon. If someone in your league did, I would pick him up.
Yep.
If you're in a deeper league, I don't mind Jeff Wilson as a bench stash. He'll be back at some point, and you never know with Kyle Shanahan.
Or Jamichael Hasty, for that matter.
Or Jamichael Hasty. Yeah. I threw a bid on him in a couple of leagues, some deeper leagues. But Elijah Mitchell is the running back that I will have ranked the highest of the 49ers this week when they take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
They are playing Philadelphia in Philly, by the way. So my take on is that there is at least a chance now, and maybe a 10% chance. Maybe it's 25%, who knows, that Elijah Mitchell has a full season as a starting running back for the 49ers. It's possible that Elijah Mitchell becomes this year's James Robinson, but like times 10, right? Because at least James Robinson, going into the season, like, they cut Leonard Fournette in, I think it was late August last year, to the Jaguars. So there was still like 10 or 12 days where we were analyzing what James Robinson's role might be in Jacksonville.
Right.
This would be,
and they had a couple of the running backs that were, you know, they had
Armstead.
Reichel Armstead, who got COVID, right?
Very scary situation.
Yeah, very scary. And Divine Ozigbo as well. So there was just a lot of unknown in the Jacksonville backfield, and we're like, how good is this team really gonna be?
Sure. So yeah, I agree on that.
Right.
So there's a chance that Elijah Mitchell is this year's James Robinson again.
1,000%. 1,000% there is a chance.
There's a chance. Now, there's also a chance, Matthew, that 3 weeks from right now, he's the backup running back and Jamichael Hasty is a starting running back, or Trey Sermon is starting running back. So I want to just make sure that.
Yeah, listen, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I want to make sure that people understand, like, what our belief is about a backfield that is coached by Kyle Shanahan. Is that if there's just one guy, there's so much upside. And if you spent over 50% of your fab budget on Elijah Mitchell, it may end up being a steal because he could be a top 20 running back for the rest of the season. We've also followed Kyle Shanahan long enough. We know how injury-prone running backs can be in general in the NFL. It's a very physically demanding position that I don't want to set the expectation that I expect 16 weeks of top 20 play. It's possible, but I also am keeping the door open.
There's a wide range of outcomes for Elijah Mitchell. I did a video last night. I put it on Twitter where I talked about the fact, like, yes, he absolutely has a chance to be this year's James Robinson. He has a chance to be a truly special fantasy football running back. And if you spent a lot of fab or you used your number one waiver claim to get him, there's a chance you just lucked into a top 10 fantasy running back for the rest of the year.
Mm.
There's also, right, to your point about Kyle Shanahan, I mean, listen, 1 point. 1 point. Like, my most famous rant that I've ever done, like the most viral video that I've ever done that has, you know, something like 3 million views now
right.
at this point, was a Kyle Shanahan-inspired thing
yeah.
because I needed Alfred Morris, who had been the starter. You know, for people that don't remember that video, what happened was Alfred Morris had been the starting running back of the 49ers, and he had gotten the majority of the work. It was still a committee, but he'd gotten the majority of the work the week before and the last couple of weeks as well, including all of their red zone work. And going into Monday Night Football against the Packers, and it's a very deep league. It's Scott Fishbowl. It was like, it's, you know, it's 25-man rosters, 12-team leagues. You can't make any trades. Super deep league. I just needed 1 point from Alfred Morris. That's all I needed against the Packers, 1 point. I think it was like 0.9 that I was down, and the other guy was done. And Alfred Morris only gets one snap. He then gets the first down, which gets me a point in this league, but there's a penalty on it, gets called back. He doesn't get it. He doesn't play the rest of the game. I lose the game by 0.9 points, and I lose it the next morning on the air. But Raheem Mostert actually got the start out of note. The special teams guy at the time, Raheem Mostert was a special teams guy.
Right.
And I remember during the game, I literally texted Shefty going, what's going on? Literally, what is going on with the 49ers backfield? Because, you know, Shefty, the most plugged in man in the NFL, knows that team inside and out. And he said, I talked to the team prior to the game, and this did not come up. You know what I mean? Like, I knew they liked Mostert, and they thought that they had some advantage on the edge and that he would get more run tonight than he normally does. But the idea that they would never use Alfred Morris never came up. So, again, 1 point. Just remember, that's what we're dealing with Kyle Shanahan, who has inherited a lot of the traits of his father,
right?
A great offensive mind,
yeah,
and also messing with fantasy managers in terms of their running back rotation.
Kind of feels to me like the spectrum is, if you're the Steelers starting running back, the job is pretty clear when yeah. you're the starter for that week. You're the guy. The opposite end of that spectrum is when you're the 49ers running back, you could be the starter and play well in the first half and then not play again for like 6.5 more weeks. All right, let's move forward to quarterback ranks, Matthew, as we get into week two. And the first player we're going to bring up is Tom Brady, who is number 8 for you, 6 for me, 5 for Daniel. He was awesome last week.
And I will say, just as a tease, we will talk about Elijah Mitchell's rank coming up later in the show.
Yes, we sure will. We'll start with Tom Brady, though. 27.2 fantasy points in week one. He has been awesome going back to like the final 5 games of last regular season, Matthew. We always talk about how in fantasy, you got to be a mobile quarterback. And then we also mentioned that there is one exception, or maybe two, but one of them that always, always delivers, and that's Tom Brady. And sure. I was saying this on the show call we had this morning.
Right.
Is that, like, what would it take to not feel really good about Tom Brady going into a week? What's the defense that scares you, given Tom Brady himself, the Bucs offensive line, and the Bucs pass catcher? Like, what's the scenario where you're like, maybe I'm fading Brady this week?
I think I've got it.
Okay. The 85 Bears.
I literally was going to say, Tom Brady gets into a time machine and goes back in time to face the 85 Bears, and a lot of his players aren't there because they weren't born yet.
Right.
You know, so like in grade
that
school.
Or like Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown simultaneously right. announced their retirement. I probably still have him like top 15, but if all three of those guys weren't available, he'd still find a way.
I mean, if there was a kale shortage all of a sudden in America, maybe that.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
You know, all of a sudden. Look. Tom Brady is matchup proof. He's age proof. He's everything proof.
Right, correct.
I mean, yes. He's just like that dude's just built different, man. Like, his DNA is just different. Having said all that, as great and brilliant as Tom Brady was in week one against the Cowboys, and he was classic Brady, right? And you knew with 1:40 left when he got the ball back, you're like, this game's over and the Bucs are going to win it. Like, Tom Brady is that guy.
Right.
He is that man. As great and brilliant as Tom Brady was in that week, he was QB7. When all the dust settled for week one, Tom Brady was the 7th best quarterback in fantasy, which is still good.
Right.
But like, you would have thought, like, I think without knowing that number, you might have said, like, it's probably top 4, top 3 or 4. You know, like, sure, okay, yeah. Kyler went off, but, you know, it's probably like top 3 or 4. He was QB7 because we had some huge running quarterback performances, especially from quarterbacks that run. And I ranked him at QB8. And my thought process here is, again, I think Tom Brady has his way with it, and it's going to be an aggressive offense. Arians always likes to do it. It's a division game. But there was nothing that I saw from the Falcons offense in week 1 that makes me think they're going to be able to move the ball against Tampa Bay the way Dallas was. That game was a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
And, like, do I still think they put up points? I do, but that offense is bad. I think there's a chance that, like, there's a defensive touchdown by Tampa Bay. Like, I don't know. I wonder if they use this game to establish their running game a little bit more, which struggled against Dallas. You know, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette each had bad turnovers. Like, I don't know. I have them at 8, even though you think, wow, this is a great matchup. Yeah. That's why, because I just think the score is probably a little bit lower and it's not as much of a back and forth, because I don't have a lot of confidence in the Falcons offense. For whatever it's worth, the over-under is 52. So, I mean, it's one of the higher scoring games on the slate.
Right. And I was just thinking about something that you brought up. Hey, for all as great as he was still QB7 last week. That being said, like, that was an amazing week for quarterbacks.
Oh, sure.
So he has 27.2 fantasy points. Even if Tom had scored 23 fantasy points, I still feel good about the decisions to start him. So the floor is so significant that, especially at quarterback, where you're going to have quarterbacks like Jared Goff last week, who bortled his way to a top 4 quarterback finish.
Indeed he did.
That, like, I'm more focused on the process for starting Brady than I am the result in some weeks. Like, if he has like back-to-back 8-point weeks, I might recalibrate. But if he's finishing with 27.2 fantasy points, I don't care if he finishes quarterback 15 on the week, I'm still justifying it time over time.
Oh yeah, look, he's a no-brainer every week starter. I'm just explaining why I have him. If somebody that's watching at home or sees the video on the ESPN Fantasy app, our videos are available in the app, is why do I have him at 8? So I'm lowest on him among our consensus rankers, right? Like, you have him at 5. I'm sorry, you have him at 6. Daniel has him at 5. I have him at 8. Still as a starter. Still as a top 8 guy. But I'm slightly lower on him just because I'm worried about him not having to put up as many points as he did last week.
I don't like to nitpick on, like, when players are ranked back-to-back. Because sometimes it's as simple as, you know, you could change your mind 5 times between now and Sunday. Being said, I think it's sort of interesting that Jalen Hurts was behind Tom Brady in your ranks, only because Jalen Hurts was so special in week 1 against the Atlanta Falcons. And what was so encouraging for Jalen was not just the rushing ability, you know, right? I mean, he's going to have plenty of that, and he's going to be a really, really consistent player if just because of his legs alone. But he was so good as a thrower, too, and he completely dominated that Falcons defense that no one thinks it's good. But still, that was super impressive from Jalen Hurts.
I said it on this podcast multiple times. We were asked for our bold prediction on the podcast. Yeah, my bold prediction on the podcast was Jalen Hurts finishes as the #1 quarterback in fantasy, was my bold prediction in the preseason for Jalen Hurts. You know, I was all in on him, came dangerously close to making him my fantasy ride or die. But, you know, listen, he was a big part of my love hate in the preseason, big part of my 100 facts with a bunch of positive facts around Jalen Hurts trying to lead you to draft him. Talked about him throughout the marathon and obviously made the bold prediction here on the podcast. The only concern here is the defense against the 49ers, and I get it. Like, they gave up a ton of yards and
points eventually
to Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Feels like, I think Philadelphia, and again, I hate to say this because I'm a Washington football team fan, I think Philadelphia's going to be pretty good this year.
Mm. Sneaky.
I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I think the defense is going to be pretty good, and I think that offense is going to be pretty good. I think Philadelphia is going to be strongly in the mix to win that division this year. And so I don't think San Francisco blows them out. So I don't think there's this furious comeback.
Well, I think Philly can win this game.
I make no mistake
about that. Yeah.
Oh, completely agree. As somebody who has a lot of Trey Lance, I'm hoping Garoppolo goes there, throws like 3 picks, they get their butts kicked, and Kyle Shanahan is like, okay, we're starting Trey Lance in week 3.
Multiple bad weeks for Jimmy to be benched. I'm
nervous about that as well. I agree. I think it's second half of the season for Trey Lance, but hope springs eternal. Having said all that, we both have Jalen Hurts as a top 10 fantasy play, even in a tough matchup against the Niners.
Let's get to the most interesting one of the quarterbacks. And you have Aaron Rodgers 4th. I have him 8th. Daniel has him 6th. This comes after he finishes quarterback 35 in week 1. Not quite how they drew it up. So,
and only 32 teams played.
Yes, right, which is scary to think. So, right. On the one hand, I'm the lowest of these three. So maybe people are saying like, oh, wow, why are you so down on Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. And the reality is I'm really not, right? More what I'm trying to suggest to people is that for those that might be at all unnerved by last week's performance, don't be, right? First of all, it's one game. Second of all, that New Orleans defense is the truth. The Lions defense is very much a work in progress. And Matthew, this comes back down to no matter what the stats tell you, no matter what week one looked like, you really can't imagine Aaron Rodgers going back-to-back awful performances to begin the season, especially when the second one comes on Monday Night Football, national spotlight. You know Aaron Rodgers is going nuts on Monday night. Nuts.
This is going to be, shout out to Bill Simmons, this is going to be an FU game. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be a big, he's going to use those two letters of the alphabet with his arm and put up massive, massive points here. Like, to your point, at Lambeau, home opener, national audience, at home against Detroit that just lost their starting corner. Like, and a team that gave up almost 350 passing yards to Jimmy Garoppolo. Right, and they're losing their starting corner. By the way, Rodgers, I think, averaged 25 fantasy points per game against Detroit. His last 10 healthy games against the Lions,
yeah,
averaging basically 25 Ridiculous. Fantasy points per game. Like, he always kills the Lions, and this is probably the worst version of the team he has seen over the last decade. And so I just think that sometimes you have stats and sometimes there's narratives, and I'm just telling you, like, Kyle, what's the player prop on? I haven't looked this up yet. I was doing Love Hate. I haven't dialed in on my player props yet, but I was doing Love Hate. I'm as a top four play. Aaron Rodgers is a love this week. Thirsty Kyle is going to look up the player prop on Aaron Rodgers, but I'm just going to tell you right now, whatever he comes back with it, I'm taking
the
over.
Yeah, I'm with you. Pound the over on Aaron Rodgers. Redemption week is ahead.
In a big way, Devontae Adams is going to have a monster game. Like, again, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he is that guy.
No
Aaron
doubt.
Rodgers is like, I hear all your questions. I hear all you doubting me. I get it.
Right.
Watch this.
Because everybody on the Packers played poorly last week, and none of that's being discussed. It's all Aaron Rodgers, not the offensive line being weak last week against the Saints, and not the receivers failing to get open, not the defense who couldn't stop a nosebleed, right? Like, this was all on Aaron Rodgers because of how, of course, this is because of how things transpired this past offseason. He is 100% going crazy this upcoming Monday night. We're talking about the running back rankings in just a second. But first, a word from Corona. And Matthew, you get to tell us about Tony Romo today. If you have it.
Wow. Hang on. I'm going to let me look at my note. I really should start paying attention in the pre-show meeting. Hey, did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Corona are Romo-tivating. Remotivating.
There it is.
Yeah, remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. They got to remotivate me to learn how to read English. All right. Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at remotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. Maybe we can have virtual Tony here on the podcast with us.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's augmented true. Tony.
Augmented Tony. Sorry. Yeah. Augmented Tony. It's true. You can be better at watching football. Let Romo Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit remotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron. Lucky for us, that was just week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using the code FOCUS. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code FOCUS. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Matthew, as we move
forward. By the way, Thirsty Kyle notes that current prop bet is 300 passing yards, 300.5 passing yards for Aaron Rodgers.
Over.
It'll move a lot, but yes, give me the over.
If we have a red zone question that is on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, and it is involving Aaron Rodgers and whether he does something successfully or not, my answer will be yes. All right, let's get to the running back rankings, Matthew. And rather than talking about just one to begin, we're going to talk about all four in the game on Monday night, Detroit and Green Bay. And I think really it's three. It's Aaron Jones, DeAndre Swift, and Jamal Williams, with A.J. Dillon kind of on the periphery there. Bad week for everybody in Green Bay. And
yeah.
As I mentioned.
It was a bad day at the office.
Bad day at the office. Just bad day.
Happens.
So I've got A.J. Dillon ranked in my top five, Matthew. I have no issue with him whatsoever. A.J. Dillon.
No, Aaron Jones. You have Aaron Jones in your top five.
I'm sorry. That was a bad miss. I'm sorry. You have him in your top five. I have Aaron Jones, number eight on my board, but a clear-cut RB1 this week against a Lions defense that got gutted last week by Elijah Mitchell. And the rest of the 49ers running backs, when they did play, Aaron Jones will be just fine.
Yes.
A.J. Dillon, not quite sure that we learned enough from week one because of how much that game got out of hand. So all of us have him outside flex range unless you play in a deeper league.
Right.
But the Lions running backs are sort of interesting, Matthew. Yeah. Because I feel like our takeaway that we stated several times over from week one was that you can maybe play both. But as bad as we think they're going to be on defense and as likely as we think it'll be that they'll be playing from behind, can we count on the offense being effective enough? Like, I would love to know. Maybe Kyle could dig this up. Maybe not. They were down 41-17, I think, with like 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Like, I wonder how many fantasy points DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams accounted for in just the final 4 minutes of the game. So on the one hand, you're like, wow, they both finished with 8 catches. They both had top, there were 25 and 24.7 fantasy points for those two players. Like, is it possible that they're going to be down big? There are going to be some opportunities, but Williams doesn't yield you 15 fantasy points even.
Look, anything's possible, but this is a Packers team that allowed 171 rushing yards in week one against the Saints.
Yeah, they're bad.
And I like, if you're Anthony Lynn, what do you want to do? You want to try to control the clock. You want to keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. You want to try to take Lambeau out of it. Like, so I think
that lasts for.
Right.
Half
I get
a quarter.
It. I get it. Listen, you know, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face. I get the whole, you know, the Mike Tyson quote.
Yeah.
I get that they're going to try to run the ball and they just may not be able to. But both guys, I think outside of TJ Hockenson, the most effective pass catchers they have on the team right now are Swift and Williams.
Clearly.
In terms of moving the ball. Just trying to move the chains. It's going to be Hockenson and the running backs. Like, none of those wide receivers really established themselves in a significant way. Yep. The expectation here is that, you know, in over-under's 48.5, so it should be a relatively high-scoring game. I don't
over.
Know. Yeah, 1,000%.
Is that just the Packers over?
Exactly. It's 48.5. They're 10.5-point favorites. The Packers are, I don't know. But by the way, if we were ranking it off of last week, they'd both be top five, which is where those guys finished last year.
Sure.
Last week. I mean, so
right.
I have DeAndre Swift at 15. I have Jamal Williams in a revenge game, by the way, for Jamal Williams against the Packers, his former team. I'm at 28. I think those are very reasonable. I have Swift as a mid-tier RB2. I have Williams as a lower-end flex, running back three. I'm good with those rankings. I think both guys are effective. I think if you drafted DeAndre Swift or Jamal Williams, there were a lot of questions about Swift in August in the pre-draft process, and I think if you ignored that noise, you know, we talked about how much we liked Anthony Lynn and how much we thought these running backs would do well in the preseason. But if you ignored the noise on DeAndre Swift, you're thrilled, and Jamal Williams was a big sleeper for both you and I in the preseason. So you know, that's one we can definitely take credit for, and I think you're pretty happy if you have either one of those guys.
So it still would have been a reasonable day if Jamal Williams had not played in those final 4 minutes of Sunday's loss. He would have had 14 fantasy points, but he did pick up 11.1 fantasy points in the final 4 minutes, as Kyle knows. So they did have some good fortune down the stretch. Still clearly Swift and then Jamal Williams in that Detroit backfield. Let's move to Eli Mitchell, who we discussed earlier on in the show, of course, and his season-long value. But as we get sort of more hyper-focused on week two, I've got him at 21. You have him at 23. Daniel at 27, Matthew. So we all have him as the clear-cut 49ers running back that you are playing this week. being outside the top 20 is perhaps a tiny bit of a hedge that they get some Jamichael Hasty mixed in, a little bit of Trey Sermon, who we do expect to be active. But I feel really good about this one.
Yeah, and it's a hedge on a couple things. Hedge on basically workload. You know, could you see Sermon and Hasty? It's a little bit of a hedge on
goal line work on Trey Lance.
Thank you. Yep. Little bit of a hedge on matchup. Like, they ain't playing the Lions.
Right.
They're playing the Eagles, and they're playing the Eagles in Philadelphia. Like, I think the Eagles have a pretty good defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. Even though they were – Atlanta actually ran the ball reasonably effectively against them on last Sunday. But I like the Eagles. Like, I mean, again, like, as a Washington fan, I don't. But as a fantasy football analyst, I think the Eagles are a better-than-average NFL team this year. So I think it's a little bit matchup-based here as well. And it's also, by the way, like, there's no tape on Elijah Mitchell. Yeah, I mean, like, we had so little preseason. Like, I think the Lions were sort of caught with their pants down when it came to Elijah Mitchell on some level.
Yeah.
He's not going to sneak up on the Eagles. Now, they only have a week to, but, like, he's much more on the radar of the defensive coordinator and the team than he was a week ago.
Fair enough.
So all of those are slight hedges. Again, I am at 23. If you used your fab on him, your number one waiver pick, if you managed to grab him, you're starting him this week.
Like, starting him over Saquon?
Yes. No question.
Yeah, you both have it ranked that way. I would start him over, added to a lot of rosters.
Yes, I would start him over Saquon Barkley.
I'm trying not to start him on Thursday night. Saquon. I really am.
1,000%.
Try not to.
And I don't think the Giants should either. I think, you know, the Giants should rest Saquon. Listen, you know what?
And Sterling Shepard and Leonard Williams, too. They thought about the rest of this. It's a long year. You don't need James Bradbury out there in week two, right?
You don't want to be embarrassed by Taylor Heineke. Come on, James Bradbury, sit down.
This one's interesting.
Take this one off. It's a short week.
This one's interesting.
Yes.
Najee Harris. You got him at 6. I got him at 4. Daniel has him at 7. On the one hand,
you
have him at 4. But here's some good things going for him, right? He played every snap in week one.
Every snap.
The guy. As I said on Twitter, he is the only running back that played every snap in week one.
Yeah.
Only one, which is great news.
Great.
So there's tons of volume, potentially.
Tons.
Number two, the Raiders defense, we don't think, is as imposing of a defensive front to stop the run as we thought the Bills might be. Now, the Raiders certainly gained some fans on Monday night, but I still don't know. They lost Gerald McCoy. Yannick Ngakoue is dealing with an injury right now. Like, the Ravens, were able to run effectively.
Yes.
Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray found the end zone. So the matchup isn't scary. But this is going to be an instructive week for Najee.
Can I also say one other thing, add to that? Because Najee Harris makes my love list as well, as a hint.
Yep.
And I'm even slightly lower. I'm at 6.
Yeah.
I thought I was positive. I'm at 4. But we're both ahead of consensus ranks on him. Also, keep in mind, in addition to some of the losses on the defense for the Raiders, they're traveling cross country for a 1 o'clock game on a short week.
Yeah, tough to do, tough to turn
around. Especially,
by
the way, they played 5 quarters,
an emotional 5 quarters too.
An emotional 5 quarters, and now they got to turn around and fly all the way to Pittsburgh on a short week for a Sunday 1 o'clock game.
So this is an important week though for Najee. So I have a lot of confidence going into this week.
Okay.
However, there might need to be some reconfiguration about what we thought of him. Maybe not him, but the situation. What was the big question mark surrounding Najee Harris this year?
Offensive line and Steeler for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, completely. And the offensive line on Sunday?
Stinky.
Not very good.
They're bad.
I don't think,
Giants-esque.
Yes, it was not great. So as much as Najee played every snap, that's encouraging. Good matchup is encouraging. If they don't get the job done against the Raiders, This is not heading towards Clyde Edwards-Helaire territory, Matthew, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year was not necessarily about the offensive line's effectiveness. It was the fact that in good opportunities, he wasn't getting the football, namely the goal line. But if they don't get some push up front this upcoming week, I'm going to be a little more nervous about ever having Najee inside my top 10 for running backs. He's a good player, very good pass catcher, but they got to make some hay against this Raiders front on Sunday.
I agree with that.
All right, so James Robinson, 25 for me, and Daniel, and then 27 for you. They play the Broncos on Sunday. Broncos, good, stout run defense. They showed that last week against Saquon Barkley. You know, Matthew, I want to rank him higher. Like, I think he should be like a top 15 to 17 running back. As we keep saying, though, Carlos Hyde is annoying in that backfield in Jacksonville. He's a thing.
Carlos Hyde is a thing. Urban Meyer loves himself some Carlos Hyde. We'll see if the narrative. Listen, the Jaguars went out and gave Trevor Lawrence his first loss ever.
In the regular season.
Yeah, in the regular season. Yeah. Not in high school, college, pros, amazing. Obviously, yeah. Right? First loss ever in the regular season. So, you know, maybe there's some, you know, some soul searching here, some look in the mirror time, right? You know, where they're just like, you know, maybe we should, maybe James Robinson gives us a better chance. I don't know. Maybe they feel better about Carlos Hyde and pass protection. Maybe it's just Urban Meyer liking his former college running back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But Carlos Hyde's a thing.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, Carlos Hyde had 25 snaps. Jay Robinson had 42. So, you know, more than half, you know, I mean, like, 42 to 25 is certainly an advantage, but not like last year we saw like it'd be like 90% of the snaps.
Right. So what you're hoping for from James Robinson is yeah. that maybe he has an even slightly higher snap share and that he finds a big play or two or picks up five catches, because certainly both of those things are within the realm yep. of possibilities. Before we talk about the pass catchers, Matthew, we have a new fantasy show tomorrow on ESPN+.
We absolutely do, Field. So Love Hate Show will come out tomorrow
great.
On ESPN+. Field's Free Agent Finds, currently available on ESPN+.
Yep.
Mike Clay's Wide Receiver Cornerback Matchups, currently available on ESPN+. Tomorrow,
love
my Love Hate column will be available on ESPN+. Tons and tons and tons of great content, tools, not to mention all the shows, the 30 for 30s, the, you know, the all the live sports, the UFC, everything you get with ESPN+. And you're like, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I probably should subscribe to that. And one of the ways you can subscribe to ESPN Plus is via rotopass.com.
Nice.
There you go. You see, what I did is I went around, I got ESPN Plus, and I got five other premium fantasy sports websites, fantasy football websites that I think are really good, that I use in addition to ESPN Plus. Personally, they have in-season tools, trade evaluators, DFS lineup optimizers on some of the sites as well. Whatever you play, whether you play Dynasty, Redraft, whatever you play Survivor Leagues like what we have, picks, it's all available for you at rotopass.com. Use the promo code 06010 to get 10% off. And here's the best part, Field. When you subscribe, you get a 12-month subscription. So you're like, well, hey, we're in week two. Yeah, guess what? And you're going to get it for all the preseason next year. You get it throughout the year, which is really helpful for dynasty
awesome.
Leagues and for
right
DFS,
now, yeah.
obviously, you know, because the lineup optimizers will take you all the way through the Super Bowl. Anyway, 12 months access, including a 12-month subscription to ESPN Plus at rotopass.com. Use promo code 06010 for 10% off.
Let's move forward to the pass catchers. And here's an interesting one. Mike Evans, who I have at 21, you have at 26, Daniel has him at 17. I was trying to think of a comparison for Mike Evans, and in some ways, Matthew, he reminds me of Tyler Lockett.
Interesting.
In a given week, he could have two touchdowns, 100 yards, and not really break a sweat.
Yep.
He could also have a week like last week where he had three catches for 24 yards and got you just 5.4 fantasy points. Also, like Tyler Lockett, it's not like you turn to Mike Evans against really difficult matchups and say, oh, wow, he can't get it done because they're playing, you know, Jalen Ramsey or something. Sometimes it's against very favorable matchups, right? Trevon Diggs is a good player who the Cowboys found in the second round last year out of Alabama and played well this past week, but still, on average, you're not afraid of a wide receiver playing the Cowboys. I'm still confident enough in Mike Evans. It's still a great offense. It's a great matchup on Sunday. I'm riding the Mike Evans train, and I'm sure there are people that are nervous. I'm rolling the dice here.
Yeah, I mean, he's weirdly touchdown dependent, which is crazy when you think about how talented he is.
Yeah.
He's insanely talented. He's one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL, but five times last season, he had 65 receiving yards.
Yep.
Only five times last year did he break 65 receiving yards. So he's weirdly touchdown dependent for big fantasy value. Now, do I think he's got a chance at a touchdown against the Falcons? Of course I do. But just the fact that they have Gronk looked like he got into a time machine, right? Antonio
yep.
Brown, clearly a big part of this offense. Chris Godwin, a big part of this offense. I've already said that I don't think Atlanta puts up much of a fight here, so I think there's a chance there's a defensive score. I think there's a chance that we see more Rojo and Leonard Fournette, especially Rojo. They've already come out and said Ronald Jones will be the starter here. Slightly nervous that maybe he doesn't get into the end zone. By the way, now that I've said that, he's going to score three. Anyway, I have him as a you know, at wide receiver 26.
Still you know, a strong flex play.
Yeah, strong flex play. I might be a little bit too low on him. We'll see how the week progresses here, but I will just say, currently for me, and this is, I think, the more important question, because we all agree He's awesome. The Buccaneers offense is awesome. Brady's awesome. I currently have them rank Godwin, Brown, Evans. That's how I've ranked the Buccaneers wide receivers. Okay. How about you?
I think I have a Godwin, Evans, Brown.
Okay.
Only because...
So Antonio Brown did not show you enough in week one for him to leapfrog Evans. Because in the preseason, I had Evans ranked ahead of Antonio Brown.
No, it's only that in two wide receiver sets, to my eye, Mike Clay could probably confirm this with through Next Gen Stats, it looked like in two wide receiver sets or single wide receiver sets, Mike Evans was almost always on the field. So just number of routes run, number of potential opportunities. And he's still a great touchdown maker.
Agree with everything you just said. But, you know, I mean, Antonio Brown, literally best wide receiver in football for a decade.
Sure.
I mean, you know, like they have an embarrassment of riches in Tampa Bay.
Let's move forward here to Brandon Ayuk at Philly. And here's the deal. If Brandon Ayuk, if Kyle Shanahan comes out and says, hey, he's back, he's playing every snap, Matthew, he'll be a top 30 wide receiver for me. If he doesn't, then unfortunately, because of how things transpired last week, you have to wait for him.
You have to be risk averse. You can't take another donut.
Right, you have to wait until he proves it. And maybe the reality is that they could say nothing this whole week, and he could have 25 fantasy points on Sunday, and the joke would be on us. But if they don't say anything all week and he comes out and he has one catch for 17 yards on Sunday and you had him in your lineup again, you've punted for two straight weeks.
Exactly.
Can't do that.
We're not in a bye week.
There's too much uncertainty, and that's nothing to do with the player. It's nothing to do with anybody. I mean, Kyle Shanahan said, sounds like the hamstring injury suffered in training camp set him back a bit. So Brandon Ayuk's going to have to earn his way into your lineup. That's simple. Simple as that.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and talk about a couple more wide receivers. But before we do, Matthew, tell us about Geico.
Field, do you rent or own your home?
I do.
Okay. Well, I bet it can be hard work.
It is.
Well, you know what's easy?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico.
Ah.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Come on. How great is that? It's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. I know you are very handy around the house. Not me. Beth has a lot to do around my house.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, exactly. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. And speaking of geico.com, that was a great read by you, Matthew. But do you want to get in shape or you're having trouble staying motivated? Make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit.
Can I interrupt you here for 1 second about 5-hour energy?
Sure, go for it.
You know who their spokesperson is? Their national spokesperson is?
Stephon DeBell.
Mike Golic Jr. Do you say Mike Golic Jr. is doing national commercials for those 5-hour energy?
Gojo.
Gojo. Love Gojo. I'm excited I was surprised to see that. And I'm just like, good for Gojo, man.
Getting
and good
shine.
For 5-hour energy. A great pairing. Love to see that. Gojo, big fan and friend of the podcast here. Field, listen, sometimes you need that energy.
You do. Especially when you don't want to go to the gym.
Right.
So take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness so you can get to the gym with zero sugar and a convenient portable size. It's a perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-hour energy website has flavors galore like watermelon and tropical burst and cherry and peach mango. I think that's Gojo's favorite. Plus more. There's a flavor for everyone. Try them all. On the site, you even have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack. You choose the flavors. It's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, you can get some 5-Hour Energy product today, and you can use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
And please use the promo code FFF. Yeah, Gojo's already getting paid by these guys. You know what I mean? Like, give your pals over here a little bit of love. Please use the promo code FFF when you go to 5hourenergy.com.
All right, as we continue on with more pass catchers, got to help myself there. As we continue on with more pass catchers, a quick note to clean up the Bucks thing. Kyle did tell me that Mike Evans ran 50 routes in week one.
Okay.
36 for Antonio Brown. So while Antonio Brown was far more efficient, that's the reason why I still have 14 more routes. That's, what is it? That's about 40% more than Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
so
it's a number.
That to me is a notable figure.
I agree.
That factors into why I have him ranked ahead of Brown for at least one more week. Here's a really interesting player, though, Matthew. Tyler Boyd, who I know is one of your favorite players value-wise at wide receiver coming into this season.
He was. He was. Did not work out in week one.
I have a wide receiver 46 this week. You got him at wide receiver 36. It's a good matchup, better matchup against the Bears than it was. I don't know. They had their way with that Vikings defense for the most part last week, but I think it's probably a slightly better matchup against the Bears than it was against the Vikings. But there were a couple indicators last week that had my radar up a little bit on Taylor Boyd. What do you think? What'd you see?
Well, I think about how you attack the Bears defense. I think about what the Rams did with Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, also a slot player, right? Tyler Boyd works out of the slot here. I think I'm not scared of the Bears defense, and I think they'll be successful throwing out of the slot. Again, you know, they're going to be paying a lot of attention to Ja'Marr Chase in this one. And
they
T.
sure
Higgins.
Will be, and they will be definitely fair on both of those. Tyler Boyd last week, 3 catches, 32 yards, just 4 targets. Now, I went back and looked at this, and I think it's unfair in some regards because they had a much different quarterback situation for the last stretch of last year. But if my memory is correct, he had 1 touchdown in his final 8 games, or sorry, last 7 games last year plus opening week this year. And that's probably the reason why, is that like the volume's got to be really good for Tyler Boyd because
not a lot of touchdown equity.
No doubt. That's part of the reason why when he was being rated in the preseason, he was outside the top 30 of wide receivers.
He was still a top 15 fantasy wide receiver in all the games he played with Joe Burrow, all the full games that he played with Joe Burrow last year. And it's not like I'm ranking him crazy. I'm at 36.
Right.
But I do have him significantly higher than you and Daniel. Both of you guys have him in the mid 40s. Again, some specific numbers here. Matthew Stafford went 10 for 13, 125 yards and a touchdown when throwing to the slot against the Bears last week. My expectation, and listen, a lot of that came on the one big Cooper Kupp play, but still, give me Tyler Boyd this week. If you're looking for a wide receiver in the 30 to 40 range, I like Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about Tyler Boyd and Cooper Kupp is you're right. They both play from the slot, but there are like very different types
very different
of slot
players,
receivers,
of course,
right?
Yes.
So, and I know you said that, but just to reaffirm, like, so I'm a little bit less optimistic on Tyler Boyd. I've got him at wide receiver 46, and maybe what that means is that if he's ranked outside the top 40 consistently, Matthew, the fantasy value maybe has just sort of gone.
Yeah,
it's evaporated.
Would have been would have been a bad call by me. I've done a lot of victory lapping. That one might have been, I take an L.
We'll see.
Because I was in on Tyler Boyd this preseason. There's no question about that. I was big in on him. So we'll see. So far, off to a bad start.
Yeah, so he did run he's been effective in this lot. He's still playing a lot. They're still going to play a ton of 3 wide receiver sets, but perhaps there's just much more upside with both Ja'Marr Chase and, of course, T. Higgins. Devontae Smith had a great week last week for the Eagles, 19.1 fantasy points. Did you see that clip? That was really cool.
Yeah, he basically scored in the exact same in the national championship game. And
yeah.
You can describe it. Yeah, I saw the clip. It's very cool.
So a few years ago, playing for
Alabama.
And a game being played at the Falcon Stadium.
At the Georgia
Devontae
Dome.
Smith, yep. He caught a touchdown pass that was in the front left corner of the end zone. His very first NFL touchdown. A catch as well at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, front left corner of the end zone. It was serendipitous, if you will, to see him catch a pass in the same spot just a few years later. Looked really good, obviously catching a pass from Jalen Hurts. It was Tua who threw that Alabama pass,
right.
But still, cool moment there for Devontae Smith. And credit to Mike Clay, who had this feeling throughout the preseason, there was such a clear path for Devontae to have a role consistently in this Philly offense. And he made good on it. So I like Devontae Smith. Matthew, it wouldn't surprise me if he's inside our top 20 weekly within 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that we talked about in the preseason, and, you know, credit to Mike Clay, who, you know, brought this up repeatedly and was the first to mention it and brought it up repeatedly. It was just like, you think about Justin Jefferson and how much target share he got last year. You did that as well?
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, sorry, I was looking at my...
Okay.
No. So anyway, just like massive target share. Yeah. Shout out to Mike Clay. We agree on Devontae Smith.
And good quarterback too.
Yeah.
Good quarterback. Tons of opportunity. Really talented player. Like maybe when a guy is the Heisman Trophy winner, it doesn't matter whether he's 165 pounds or not. Like maybe he's just a baller. So cool for Devontae Smith to start off that way. And maybe there's a chance that we have him ranked even higher week after week after week.
Especially when Jalen Hurts continues to just go off.
Just dominate
go
the NFL.
Go off king.
Let's get to 2 Broncos, Matthew. And the easy one, I think, is Noah Fant, tight end, who ranks inside the top 7 for you, me, and Daniel. I mean, good player, was busy even before the Jerry Jeudy injury. And you just would think that, like, more targets go around, so he bumps up.
But Courtland Sutton's a really fascinating one because he had one catch last week, one catch for 14 yards. Super disappointing. A guy that coming into the season received a clean bell of health from Stefania.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It wasn't going to be the injury that slowed him down, but he did not produce in week one in a very good matchup. At least we thought it was a good matchup. I take that back. It was an okay matchup against the Giants, right? Like, James Bradbury is a good player. Maybe that's the reason why. I'm looking at, but this week there is a good, potentially very good matchup. Jacksonville in week two. Do you think that this can be a bounce back breakthrough week here for Courtland Sutton, or are you nervous? Because I tend to think this is a breakthrough week for him.
I agree. I mean, look, I am as a top 30 play this week. I'm at 29. I'm higher on him than the consensus. So, look, I think he's sort of quarterback proof. Thought Teddy Bridgewater actually played well. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we just saw, you know, Brandon Cooks absolutely dominate them the other day as last week as well. And so, yeah, I like Courtland Sutton quite a bit in this game. Jacksonville, since the start of last year, second most yards per pass attempt, right? You know, pass catcher has seen, I don't even like that stat. I'm just going to say this real quickly.
Okay.
I think the Jaguar secondary is going to struggle here. I like Courtland Sutton's talent. I like what I saw out of Teddy Bridgewater with no Jerry Jeudy here and no strong corners. I think he gets a massive target share in this one in a game in which I think the Broncos put up a lot of points. It is worth noting.
I liked everything you said there, by the way, Matthew. Go ahead.
You know, they're almost a touchdown favorite.
Right. They're touchdown favorite, and Jacksonville's defense is a lot different compared to last year, but they were terrible last year. They're slightly better this year.
Yeah.
But they got diced by the Texans.
By Tyrod Taylor.
291 passing yards plus 40 rushing yards for Tyrod Taylor. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, can keep things going for at least one more week. And again, we always look back at week one of the regular season and say, that was such an outlier. And I tend to think amongst the other outliers will be the Packers week one performance. Courtland Sutton's going to feel like an aberration to us in short order. He's a really good player. He is healthy. He has thrived despite quarterback play in the past. I think Courtland Sutton bounces back this week. All right, so every week there are players that are more difficult than others to rank, Matthew, especially after week one when you're trying to balance reacting versus overreacting. Mm-hmm. Daniel notes that the hardest players for him to rank this week were the Bucs running backs, which you like the matchup. You just don't know who to trust. Bruce Arians said yesterday, hey, I'm going to start Ronald Jones this weekend. I don't know what that means, Matthew. That's a great example. Yeah. Who is a player, or is there a player that to you is difficult to rank this week?
We've already talked about him. I mean, honestly, Elijah Mitchell for me was the toughest to rank because such a wide range of outcomes. Mm-hmm. Okay. He had an awesome game last week, but you know, Trey Sermon wasn't active. Knowing that Raheem Mostert's out for the year, what does their running back room look like?
Right.
It was also against Detroit. They're now playing a much tougher, in my opinion, a much tougher defense in Philadelphia. And it's Kyle Shanahan. So he easily could finish the week as a top 10 fantasy running back. But if he finished, like, again, 1 point. Like, I mean, like, if Elijah Mitchell does nothing, are we going to be like, well, what? I mean, like, whatever. 6 days ago, we were like, wait, Trey Sermon's inactive? Elijah Mitchell's the number two? Like, wait, what? Like, yeah. It's just, they're really good. Credit to the 49ers organization. They're really good at not letting anything out of the building. You know, I mean, that's a team that is locked down and doesn't, you know, there aren't a lot of sources there. And so they do a good job of that. And so for me, Elijah Mitchell was really tough for me to rank this week.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
Julio Jones.
Yeah. Great one.
So I know it's just 1 week, and I was just talking about how there are going to be things that you look back on and think, wow, that actually happened. But this offseason gave us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain about what the NFL thought of Julio Jones, right? This is Julio Jones, the NFL's all-time leader in receiving yards per game. And the Falcons got a second and a fourth in exchange for Julio and like a sixth or something.
Yeah.
Essentially, they got a second-round pick for Julio Jones. And it's not like Julio, for the Titans, cost them an exorbitant amount of money. 3 years, $37.5 million. Just for some context, it's Corey Davis money. Corey's a nice player, obviously.
But hey, Julio Jones.
This is not 3 years and $62 million or some right. massive number.
Yeah.
And in week one, Matthew, no one looked good for the Titans, obviously. But could there have been on paper a better matchup? Maybe we don't do enough thinking about how much the pass rush versus the offensive line matters.
It's hard to throw when you're on your back. Chandler Jones was in that backfield that felt like on every play.
Did you see the announcement this morning from the NFL?
No.
That Chandler Jones has been named to the Pro Bowl. He literally got named for the Pro Bowl.
I believe it.
After Sunday.
He
so,
should have. He should have.
Julio Jones, literally, like that you're right. Like, it's fair to point that like there wasn't much for anybody there in that Titans offense. I do wonder, though, whether or not his best days are well behind him. And that maybe the reason why there was seemingly no market for Julio, or there was a small market for Julio, is that the NFL views him as a player that even when he's not drawing top coverage because of A.J. Brown, and even when he's got a very efficient quarterback, and even when things are going well, the running game can draw a ton of attention for the defense, that maybe he's not bound for the massive fantasy success.
Sometimes the wall comes fast for NFL players. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's happened yet for Julio Jones.
We don't know.
It's 1 week.
Yeah,
let's
we don't
see.
Know. But that was a tough one for me.
I totally, totally get it, because they're on the road at Seattle. Tough place to play. Seattle looked good.
Sounds like rain's in the forecast, which at Seattle it could change, and also could be pouring rain. It's
yeah,
happens
and,
frequently.
But you know, looks. Seattle's defense looked good against the Colts.
They did look
again,
very
was,
good, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's really
he's
really
a tricky
interesting.
One.
It is a tricky one. I'm hoping he does not have a good game because you and I play each other in the War Room League this week.
Oh, and I have Ryan,
you have Ryan
Tannehill.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
I hope it's a big Derrick Henry game.
Okay.
A lot of handoffs.
I hope it's like 6 touchdowns for Derrick Henry and 5 for Ryan Tannehill, which seems reasonable enough to me, right?
Sure.
Yeah, let's make
on,
that
Seattle.
Happen. All right, but Julio
All
Jones.
Derrick Henry.
Julio Jones is one of the most difficult players to rank for this week. I think I have him right around wide receiver 30. So he's a borderline flex play this week. I hope I'm not overreacting too much to, again, really the story of that day, of that game between the Cardinals and the Titans, was the defensive front of the Cardinals completely overwhelming that Titans offensive line. That's going to do it for us. We're coming back tomorrow. So on Thursday's show, we'll have Mike Clay available to preview Thursday night football. We'll take a look at the upcoming Washington football team against the New York Giants matchup. Plus, we'll talk about wide receiver, cornerback matchups, and perhaps some news. Anything else to plug on the way out?
No, I'll be up late tonight finishing up Love Hate.
Okay.
It basically takes me 2 nights to finish it, so I won't be here on tomorrow's show, but Mike will do a great job. I think Stefania's back as well.
All righty.
And, yeah, so tomorrow, Love Hate, new Love Hate column and new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. So check both of them out.
For properly quenched Kyle Soppe.
Yes, sir.
I am Field Yates. He is Matthew Berry. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Peace out.